Well, we're waiting on Supreme Court decisions in a number of high-profile cases that have all been argued before the court. They cover voting rights, the Affordable Care Act, adoption, and more. In the court's first term with this 6-3 conservative majority, Joan Biskupic is legal analyst for CNN and a Supreme Court biographer. Welcome back, Joan.
Thank you, Robin.
And start with another challenge to the Affordable Care Act, which has been upheld twice by the court. Remind us of this case and what's at stake.
Sure. And you're right. This is such an exciting time of year, especially now that we have the three Trump appointees in place. And we're going to see what kind of power Chief Justice John Roberts still holds. And Obamacare has always been an area that he has defined. He wrote the first two opinions upholding Obamacare narrowly back in 2012 and 2015. And the case that's now under consideration was actually triggered by the 2012 dispute. In that case, Chief Justice John Roberts, working with the court's four liberals, upheld the Affordable Care Act by construing its individual insurance mandate as part of Congress's taxing power. Mm-hmm. You might remember that there were some, it was a commerce challenge, but John Roberts decided to read the law a little differently under an alternative construction there and ensured that Obamacare would live on. But it was that taxing power that's now at issue, because when a Republican Congress then in 2017 zeroed out the tax penalty, and Texas and other Republican-led states are saying, based on what John Roberts did in 2012 and what Congress did in 2017, the entire Affordable Care Act should go down, that individual mandate is now unconstitutional and it should sink the entire law. So it's another very high-profile case, but I do think, Robin, that given the way the justices expressed themselves in November during oral arguments, I think it's unlikely that the justices will sink this entire law that has been sitting there, you know, since 2010 and has provided health care coverage to more than 20 million Americans and, you know, expanded Medicaid. But there are a couple procedural issues having to do with the legal standing of the groups that have challenged the law, and whether if one provision is invalidated, does it take down the whole law? So that's what I believe is delaying the ruling at this point, but we could know as soon as Thursday how this court goes.
Oh, boy. So we'll watch that. We'll start with another challenge to the Voting Rights Act and two Arizona laws that a lower court said harmed minority voters in the state. What are the implications of this? Because we see so many states enacting more restrictive voting laws.
This one is so important exactly for that reason and exactly because of all the repercussions that have come out of the 2020 election. In dispute are laws that require ballots cast by people at the wrong precinct to be thrown out, completely thrown out, and that would also bar most third parties, you know, beyond a relative or a mail carrier, from collecting any absentee ballots, for example, at a nursing home. And now, those provisions could still, no matter what the justices do on those provisions, it won't have the consequences that their overall broader legal reasoning will have on just what should be the Voting Rights Act standard for assessing any kind of denial of voting rights, for assessing any kind of regulation out there. And during the oral arguments, Chief Justice Roberts and fellow conservatives did focus on potential voter fraud more than voting rights in some ways. And they highlighted state authority for overseeing elections. So it's not just a question of what happens with these two particular provisions in Arizona law, but what kinds of standards they set for cases going forward, and however the justices rule will necessarily impact a raft of the new legislation that's being enacted right now, and how easy it would be for racial minorities to register and to vote and to challenge restrictions in court.
Boy, it's just going to be such a rich couple, such important decisions being made. We'll keep an eye on all of them. And there's many more to talk about, and we will over the course of this the next week. But looking at the term as a whole and about the minute we have, how has the 6-3 conservative majority changed the court?
It's already made a very big difference in terms of, for example, COVID restrictions that were challenged as a violation of religious rights. The new majority with Justice Amy Coney Barrett in place moved to reject those COVID restrictions, saying that they impinged on religious liberties. The other things that have happened since Amy Coney Barrett took her seat is that the justices have agreed to hear a major abortion rights challenge and a new Second Amendment challenge to gun rights, the first time in more than a decade that the justices are weighing in there. So you can feel that there's this new push to the right, and where Chief Justice John Roberts had been in a position to steady the court, he doesn't have that kind of power anymore. But we shall see.
Joan Biskupic, CNN legal analyst. Interesting time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.